Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. This is the special Europe edition. Manya, can mark that for SEO purposes. Apparently we're really getting strong with our marketing and we're looking to expand the breadth.
And we
might be having some more guests, but we have a special guest on tonight, Timon. But Brian, as always, jump into the market.
All right, so today's a green day. This is Tuesday, November 2nd, by the way. And so Ethereum has just busted through all-time highs, and right now it's at like 4,500, 4,550 right now. And so, and Bitcoin's like a little under 65, it's at 63 right now. But it's been an eventful week or so, or 10 days since we last spoke. Things are heating up. We're in full meme coin mode.
People talk that are actually in this for the long haul, that the sentiment is actually not even as euphoric as it should be for ETH all-time highs. It felt unsustainable, and now this is like back to all-time highs. And we've talked about the Batman, you know, where it goes up, it goes down, and then it goes back up. So it looks like the two ears of Batman. And that chart has filled. And how much will ETH run in the short term, long term? Projections have been blasted because everyone was bearish. Now we're back to all-time highs. But it doesn't feel like up only euphoria. It's like we learned our lesson. Don't be too stupid, but what are your targets for ETH? People say that SOL is going to bust through their all-time highs and outperform ETH. And then if you look at other pairs, you know, Bitcoin-ETH pair, ETH-altcoin pairs, alt season, I don't know, maybe NFT 2.0, DeFi
3.0. It doesn't even feel like ETH is running because gas is like still high. It feels like still unusable to like use because everyone's in meme coins.
It's institutional money flooding into ETH. And then also you get good yields on ETH off of like BlockFi or Celsius or whatever. And like people are just starting to realize the like, I think in the future, ETH will hardly be doing transactions. And it's going to be like daily transactions that come from off-chain, and it's going to be the most hallowed, sacred ledger of everything. Anything that happens on ETH is like, in the future, everything will be chain-linked on Ethereum, and no one will get away with any crime. I was trying to talk about, like, the, you know, chain-link being, I don't know, it's the stable coin, but it's also the future.
It's Skynet, Red.
It's Skynet.
Yeah, it's crazy. Chainlink, with all the integrations it's been doing, like it hasn't moved at all. But like Sol is popping off. Like price targets for Sol have been like, oh, it's going to 1,000 pretty soon. Like by the end of this run.
So I agree with you, but can I tell you about something that I learned about Sol? Did you know that it's personally backed with like, it's an interesting discussion about tokenomics, about how like Ohm works, or how Urzel single sided staking work, or how Sol works, or Chainlink, where Chainlink and Sol are opposites. Chainlink is constantly selling to develop their product. Sol is personally subsidized by Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah.
So do you know the transactions are cheap because they maintain the nodes that are centralized, and there's only 19 of them, and it's not decentralized. And that's why they can outcompete Ethereum. It was something that I learned just recently, and I didn't understand how TPS, the transaction per second, you know, off of AVAX or Phantom or Sol, they have different transactions per second, but if it's being seg, you know, like, is it decentralized? Ethereum is completely decentralized. And same with Chainlink. But then there's a price to pay for that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Sol is personally backed by like 19 nodes that are all directly tied to like venture capitalists and Sam Bankman-Fried. And they are using what like the Zuckerberg method is, where they just spend money to then just eat market share. Because if they make it cheaper than everybody else,
people will go to it.
Right?
But yeah.
Fathom is killing it with like cheaper transaction per second.
I think AVAX is up there too. A lot of AVAX has been popping off. It got to all-time highs. It got to like 75 yesterday. And then DOT too, with their parachain auctions coming up on November 4th.
It's November 4th. I thought it was November 11th, but there's a lot of interesting, you know, alpha that we learned from talking with like a influencer, where it's just like, there are some announcements, like crypto is like awake, and then the announcements and the new things are not what we started talking about, but there are new developments where it's like, okay, the news is like, okay, what happens with DOT? What happens with the other L2s? Like, what happens
people
with...
People are waiting to put their money in. Like, they're watching. Like, that's and then what where I does it learned, go? Yeah.
Because it used to be flavor of the month or flavor of the week, and, like, at the moment, it's, like, the Sesta coins and, like, the Ohm forks and, like, Spell, Abracadabra, Mim.
Yeah, Ohm forks are going off. Meme coins. Like Kiba, you know, Sheep Girlfriend is out there now. Doge is pumped a little bit.
I think when I saw Sheep Girlfriend, I should probably should have just aped in.
Well, now I don't know if it launched yet, but there's I saw that there's going to be a Sheep baby or something. Like the Shiba Inu and then the girlfriend have a baby. It's kind of ridiculous. I still refuse to get into meme coins. Like, I don't...
Dude, I think that I'm smart enough to get down to that. And it was, like, a lot of people joking. We, Timon and I were watching that Up Only, where it was just like, you know, the last cycle, you just needed to hold Doge, and that's the 70 IQ, but, like, this cycle, you need to, like, hit yourself in the head with a brick and get down to 50.
Yeah, you need to be on the left side right now. Left side of the left side of the parabola or the whatever curve that is.
Well, we were saying that Timon is going to use the crypto Sparta. We're going to start him up. And Brian, what's our asking rate? We can talk about it with our clients for doing the setup. But Timon's going to ask a couple of questions, because like, we were thinking about maybe we do a walkthrough of like how we would actually get him on AVAX, and also like he's going to be our representative in Europe. But like in Europe, they're not as like into just getting rich quick like Americans, where they're just going to throw their money into stupid meme coins.
Yeah, exactly. And Brian, that might actually be a good question for you. The first question I would have, you know, from a European perspective, there's still a lot more skepticism here, you know, just in the general population. I'm among my friends, you know, my people at university, you know, my parents and in business in general. So they, a lot of people still think it's kind of a scam maybe, or they just kind of don't understand it. So what would you say, like, how would you explain it to people like that who are really just kind of like very suspicious of the whole thing?
Well, there's definitely scams out there with like the meme coins. And like, so, I mean, some of that is true. Like, you definitely have to, like, do look into it, like, on a more, not on just, like, a service base or, like, what you read in the news. But, like, you know, actually, like, kind of look at their website, you know, kind of see what, trying to explain their technology. But there's definitely, that's why, like, I mean, there's definitely a lot of, you know, good work doing like out there, like a lot of coins that are actually like trying to, you know, are finding opportunity and like finding you know, trying to be productive, like with DeFi and stuff. Like, I think the whole like Chainlink and DeFi, the whole like not needing a bank you know, bank account or getting more yield on your banking or on your savings account is like pretty novel, like kind of thing. But there's definitely like that's at that surface, there's like memes and, you know, scams. Like people, like there's a rug today or like a couple of days ago, Anubis got rugged by a guy named Barris, apparently. Those of you who are DBZ
fans.
Is
that a Dragon Ball Z reference or?
Yeah.
Too open? Yeah. It and is. Then that was way bigger than the Squid Game one.
Yeah, but, Squid I also mean, got a rug pull, but now there's like two different Squid Games, and people don't like know which one's references. The rugged one and which one's the like legit one.
But in the future, I think that like it's gonna be one of these, and it like might interject like my personal politics or like a viewpoint, but the media is going to demonize the shit out of crypto. And some people said was what they were like, yo, dude, that Squid Game article is going to get way more attention when it's like the overall market cap of crypto is like a giant bank. And then, you know, like Elon Musk pointed out about like the child trafficking for the UN. It's like there's banks that do bad things. And it's basically like the... like saying like someone spit some gum on the ground, like, oh, there was like a minor rug pull, because like,
yeah,
it's like there's way more money at stake, and
they're gonna try to scare you for sure.
They would report on the actual realities and the actual rug pulls or the actual shady stuff, but like, it's just like an undeveloped journalistic environment, and also like the general media just like really says stupid shit.
Yeah, I feel like they're gonna like try to dissuade you, because that's a way for regulation to get for them to like get their way as far as like, you know, making regulation laws. So, I mean, as far as like advice for like Europeans,
meme, it was like regulator, and then it's Gary Gensler. It's like, I'm gonna protect you from like $50,000 airdrops. Yeah, and just like, you better not get like
no more avocado toast.
That's an unsecured security, but we don't know if it's a security or not. And so until we regulate this, we better not be able to like. And also, just the idea of, I mean, I believe in leverage or the opportunity to be exposed to it, but it's actually, I don't touch it myself.
No, it's not smart. We don't recommend it. Don't touch leverage, but the opportunity presents itself. You got to give people the opportunity to, I guess. Like,
well, and Gainsey talked about it, but like he apparently went psycho. Trading the 1 minute chart, like,
Well, that was funny too. Somebody actually caught the Squid Game rug pull on a live stream, and he was looking at the minute chart, and all of a sudden it goes up. And then you just see that giant red candle down. He's like, oh my God. He's like, oh my God. It just rugged. Like, in the actual.
It was like a UFC knockout moment almost. Everybody.
And people went all in there, like, Squid Game. Like, green light.
Yeah, it's like the Joe Rogan, like, holding you back. Like, oh. Like, getting KO'd. But yeah, just to finish on the thought, like, you gotta, obviously, you can't just, you know, take what the media tells you about crypto. You kind of have to like look into it yourself and kind of like get rid of all the trash, because there is a lot of trash and scams out there, but there's also a lot of good projects that are trying to do good and, you know, trying to you know, make a difference and finding a really innovative way to, you know, solve a world problem. And a lot of these cryptos that we've talked about, and we've talked about this before, is that, you know, a lot of them, like, their test ground is in third world countries to, like, you know, how to like do their tests and see if how it would be implemented in the real world.
So for me, the interesting thing is like, there are all sorts of people in Wall Street that come up with very complex financial instruments that are like 2008 dog shit, like will make everyone go broke, and then they make money off of it. And then think of the flip side of just like really intelligent, decentralized finance tech people doing crypto financial instruments that are just like genius, where everybody wins.
Because the Danielle Esty guy, the guy who made Evra. Yeah,
Esty. I'm trying to meet him. I'm trying to go to Portugal and meet him.
He had a Twitter space today, and he was like explaining the whole like abracadabra time and like the LP.
Mind blowing.
And like, dude is wicked smart. Like we are not. I guess we're not on the shills yet, but I mean, I've talked about Spell before, but
Frog
like,
Nation, just anything Frog Nation.
That guy is smart as hell. And like, it's like, he's like one of those guys that you follow because he's just smart, you know, and he has like a lot of bright ideas with, you know, how the crypto space or DeFi is going.
I want to meet him, and I'm here in Barcelona for a while, but I've got to find a way. But it's at the point where I think I'm like a connection away or two to like catching up with him.
Yeah. The thing about, I feel like in crypto too, that it's like to interact and meet with like, you know, movers of the space, like it's pretty, you know, accessible to a degree. Would you say, Daniel? Like,
it's not that far.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you do have a barrier to entry of like, and it's interesting because also like you were talking about with Ethereum. I mean, the trading barrier, like to do any interaction on Ethereum, is getting very high. Even if you trade with volume, it just like still bites you to be paying so much in fucking Ethereum. But still, if you're crypto rich or whatever, if you're just used to it, if you're Ethereum native, you're just like, I make enough Ethereum off of this, that, and the other thing that like, I'll keep moving things around in Ethereum, but I try to not touch it anymore.
Yeah, there's simps willing to just, you know, give e-girls to Bitcoin to start their trading careers. Do you see that like a couple weeks ago?
And I mean, I just think of like seeing Kobe's like giant wallet of just like, imagine, and I would think, and really it's with my Phantom bag that I feel the most sentimental. Where it's just like, wow, all those Phantom that I had, and I gave away a lot of my Phantom, and then if they become worth a lot, it's just like, wow, dude, like it means nothing to me because it was like that first 600 or whatever or XYZ amount that just really grew more than anything.
Yeah,
and then you kind of treat it. It warps your mindset where you're just like, I have so many Phantom. And if a single Phantom becomes a significant amount, it's weird if you just like have a shit ton of Bitcoin and you're just like, yeah, it's Bitcoin. It's not actual real money, but you don't even spend much money in your real life.
Like, yeah, because you probably spent like $100 on all that stuff back in the day. And like you don't even value it as much, where it's like one coin, I probably cost you like 30 cents back in like 2013 or something.
Well, and the way different people treat different things, and also just like the idea of taking profits, where it's like almost like you have to disclose where it's like, I've had winners and I've had losers, and I've been euphoric and I've been like down in the dumps, but like I take out money to like pay for certain things to like live like my life. And but it's a certain amount that you have to get to. It's warped where some people really do are the meme where they're like, I'm really, really rich in crypto, but like, I still like cannot leave my mom's basement. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with the mom's basement, but it's just like, is the money for something, or is it just like numbers on the board? Because I will take profits to be like, I'd like to spend my money on such and such thing. But it does get to be an obsession of just like, I'm going to keep feeding.
It feels like free money when you have profits. that you just want to spend on stuff. It feels like you're not touching like your real life like stack.
It's why I really enjoyed buying the flamethrower, because I like to buy things that are really like, I made a lot more money than I should have on crypto. So I'm going to buy something that like is unnecessary to kind of reinforce like, why am I investing in this? And like, I take things out and like buy a flamethrower that makes me happy.
Yeah, I'm still saving for that Rolly, you know. That would be my first crypto profits purchase.
A Rolex, man?
Yeah, gotta get the Rolly.
You want to be in rep video from the 90s?
Yeah.
Dude, but Brian, I wanted you to tell Timon about how our service kind of works, just in terms of like, he wants to get set up. And these Europeans, they're not as hungry for the American dream type stuff. And they're just like, can I pay you to set us up? And then it would be, what, MetaMask with like a centralized exchange and then maybe do some Uniswap stuff. Can we bridge them? Can we do AVAX? Can we get them in Time or Ohm? Can we get them to stake stuff? I mean, how would you explain to a newbie who's like, he wants us to help him?
Yeah. So it'd basically be kind of like, I guess, the, you know, it's kind of like a walkthrough experience, I guess, initially to set up and show you, you know, what are the important aspects. Like, you know, first you need to do this, which would be, you know, to buy, to, you know, set up a Coinbase account or something or a centralized exchange. And then, you know, set up your MetaMask so you have, you know, somewhere to put your coins after you buy them on the centralized exchange. And then, you know, from there, you can play around. Once you have that MetaMask or address, you can start playing around with like different kind of blockchain type things like AVAX and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think doing that would just be mean walking you through that. That's basically what we do. And then, you know, from there on, we kind of show you, you know, how to watch it, how to keep track of it. Because there's going to be some instances where, you know, you'll be like, the coin is not showing up in my MetaMask, but you have to actually like import the address so your MetaMask will show up. So kind of just walking you through the basics. And then from there on, we kind of just let you be aware. And then after that, it's kind of up to you to like play around with it and what you want to do with it. Like we can, you know, put it in staking and then you can just, you know, forget about it, you know, for a year and just let it grow. Or, you know, you can be proactive with it. But
I was telling him about the different types of portfolios that we were saying, about like the ideal portfolio. But the weird thing is that actually it does depend on the volume, because fees are so expensive that like,
yeah,
1,000 to 10,000 to 100,000, it really makes a change. And like, you can't have like minor stakes in all sorts of little meme altcoins.
It's really hard to, it's really hard to just throw like $20 here or like $100 there at different stuff. You know, especially now to get started, you know, like we don't really play around with BSC that much too, like, which is the Binance Smart Chain. I kind of stay away from that because, with Binance having issues and, you know, being based in China with their regulation. And they have like withdrawal limits too. They just announced that they're like suspending withdrawals on Binance like a couple of days ago. So you don't really know when you can access or withdraw your money when you put it on there. But as far as, you know, putting in Time or Ohm and some of these forks, that's definitely something that we show people how to do. as far as rates and stuff, I think we're still, you know, trying to figure out what that rate is or how much that's worth to people.
You but just charge like one Island Boy cameo per setup. or like three Island or Hard Rock Knicks.
One, yeah.
Or do we charge in ETH? We charge in fiat or like...
Yeah. I think fiat would be the most reasonable, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we charge in fiat. But no, Crypto Sparta and Sparta Outsourcing are growing, and we'll hopefully have some new announcements for the podcast. But it is good to like, yeah, it's a different rhythm with me being in Barcelona. But let's move to the shills. You want to just wrap it up?
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I was like thinking about the shills. We didn't even talk about the metaverse kind of thing, where there was an announcement that, you know, Facebook is going to rebrand to Meta. And there's all that, you know, jokes around, you know, Zuckerberg going around. But I think right now there's a lot of gaming and metaverse plays. Right now, I think that's what's hot, like kind of the Axies kind of thing. And I saw this one floating around. It's PYR, which is like Forged Vulcan or something.
I've been seeing that, and I don't even know what it is. And I've seen it.
I don't even. Yeah, I mean, I haven't like looked into it.
I
like
thought
that
PYR
hard.
Was for Pyramid, and I was like, yeah, shout out Pyramid Scheme.
No, it's like a.
But no, it was actually it was shilled by reputable people.
Yeah, like Trading Lord Shielded Scruffer is on it, and it's been pumping recently. But I think, I mean, KuCoin even has like a metaverse like category, and they list all those coins, you know, to invest in. And so, I don't know. I think PYR might be something. Well, it's called Vulcan Forged, and it's you know, a play to earn type of game. And I think it looks more reputable than, you know, some of the other metaverse stuff. Like you'll see, like, I don't know who it was. It was either Elmo or like Keyboard Monkey, where they're like every single, you know, metaverse game I've played has not impressed me, where it's like, yeah, they're either like super clunky or, you know.
But it's kind of one of the things where it might be like you just do a scattered, like you bet a bit in each, and like one of them is gonna like crazy outperform.
Yeah, I didn't hear what you said, Danny. I was speaking.
No, whoever wins is gonna make a crazy amount of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, it's a little more, you know. I don't want to say stable, but there's a little more backing behind these play to earn games than there are to all these meme coins right now. I think you'll see a lot of coins like kind of tanking because people are trying to rotate and cut losses and try to chase the next big thing. So I think like look into kind of gaming and like metaverse kind of stuff, because that's kind of like hot right now. Especially with the Facebook announcement, like Decentraland like went up crazy. Like it's like at 350.
Yeah. Man, I did. That's the Decentraland token. And it's like,
yeah.
It's one of those things where maybe you let the winners win. Do you think like buying more mana would be smart?
I don't know. Like, I think if you're buying right now, you're buying at the high. At the top, at peak. Because, like, I don't, like, whatever metaverse product, I think we're still a long way to go as far as, like, having, like, a viable, like, thing. So, like, I don't know. I just, like, it just came out of nowhere. Because, like, it was at, like, you know, $1, $1.50, like, basically, like, the whole time since I've been in crypto, like since March, just flatlining basically. And then like this announcement with, you know, you know, with Facebook changing their brand to Meta, I think that just like created a whole thing. So that's my kind of shill. But like I said, like 2 weeks ago or like last week, like definitely looking to spell. Like I'm like the stuff that that ecosystem, like what they're, what you can do with it. Like he's a giga brain, dude. That dude. his thoughts on like LP staking, I think is completely different than, you know, what the current takes are as far as LP in that mechanism. But yeah.
I was just going to say, like, my show was basically the idea of like increased risk, where it might seem like abstract or whatever, or dumb, but like, I think that it's a way of saying like, you can do ETH and maybe like leverage up a bit, or like expect higher highs, like just deploy a bit more risk into everything. Wherever the portfolio is, I think everyone should shift it towards bullish. And it's like, it's almost seems like everyone's still a bit skeptical, but ETH is above all.
Yeah, it's about like 4,500, and no one's really talked about it. Really, it's kind of been flying under the radar.
And people are saying that, like, I mean, the wheat will get sorted from the chaff, the cream will rise to the top for NFTs. And so, I would maybe say that, like, with the Coinbase stuff, it's also like, people get so goldfish brained in crypto that they don't remember that, like, dude, NFTs are going to pop again.
Pudgy presents, Christmas.
There's going to be an NFT 2.0, I think. But it's
already a meme. This is meme 2.0. And it's been like 4 months, basically. Like, it's crazy how it's kind of become cyclic with the meme cycle with, like, if we, you know, back in when we first started this podcast, if we actually like put money in shit, like, you know, right when we talked about it, the first meme cycle, we'd make a killing right now for sure.
We were talking about if somebody had put $100 into each of our shills every week, they'd probably be rich by now.
Yeah, spells up.
And I almost want to put the offshore team into it and be like, these are the things that they show just like for like a flex, you know, like, yeah, they were talking about Doge and Sheeb and all these things like a long, long time ago. And whether it was good or bad, I mean, it's a lame shill, but what my idea is that actually I'll just shill Ethereum, where I'm like, dude, if you have dollars, anything in crypto is safe. And I think Ethereum is just, because, like, yeah, Bitcoin is all safe, but I'd rather do Ethereum.
Bitcoin and ETH are safe now. There's ETFs now, Grayscale, everything.
ETH is almost like a bullshit, sad shill. Because I could name all sorts of altcoins or meme coins or, like, NFTs or crazy stuff. And I'm just like, my whole point of the shill is shove more chips in the table.
Yeah, just go more.
I feel safe putting more risk on the table, where probably, you know, risk only what you can afford to lose. And sometimes, and whatever you think how much money I have in or out of crypto, I'm just like saying, like, I'm willing to risk a bit more.
I feel a bit more
comfortable. Yeah, just like, just toe the fucking line. And that's the problem is, I'm very into, like, there's a very sketchy line, and as much as I can put in.
Yeah, I think right now it feels like we're in a really special time right now, where it's like, this is like an opportunity. It feels like a gold rush kind of like situation. I don't know if you watched like Deadwood or something, but it's like people like go to Deadwood to try to find gold, basically. And I think right now in crypto space, like, there's opportunity to make a lot of money and out of nothing almost. like with very few like with very few you know starting
it's
cash.
Completely equitable. Anyone can do it.
And I think also too, like I think ETH coming back from the crash of like May, I think that's like provides evidence that, you know, crypto is viable and like it's not as risky as it was like 6 months ago.
Did you buy the dip or did you? I bought the dip. I never lost faith.
I'm still buying Urzel dips right now. You got to buy the dip.
But no, should we wrap it up or time and yeah. do you have a shill? Shill knowledge. Like everyone should just have more knowledge.
Yeah, what's your
I don't
alpha?
Even know what a shill is. I thought it was like a joke. Like it's not real.
A shill means that you're trying to sell it because you think it's really worth it.
Yeah, straight line persuasion system. I'll sell you this pen, Brian. Brian, son.
But the shills are for cryptos. Do you have a crypto to shill the audience?
No, I don't. But I suspect after my next meeting with Brian, I will. As you get your setup. Yeah. No, I just do. I just repackage what you guys say, and it makes me sound very intelligent. And that's how I go through life now.
All right. So on that note, we'll end it there. This has been
a good episode.
The latest episode of the Crypto Startup Podcast, November 2nd, 2021. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Nick, once again.
Shout out, Nick.
Yep. All right. Peace.